For me, I graduated there at Southeastern and went on to pastor, associate pastor in South Carolina. I was there in two different churches in South Carolina over about a 10-year period. The church that Devin mentioned, First Baptist Florence, and then ultimately moved to North Carolina and pastored a church there. I was a campus pastor in the Charlotte area, and then moved to First Baptist Charlotte, which is in uptown, downtown Charlotte. Was there 4 years, and the Lord called me to lead this ministry 3.5 years ago. And so I resigned my position at First Baptist Charlotte and to take on the lead role president of Christian Adoption Services. And so I love what I'm doing, basically pastoring this ministry. It's an incredible ministry. And I pray today, you'll hear a little bit about CAS, Christian Adoption Services. And as Devin mentioned, we're a full-service nonprofit adoption agency. We do international adoptions all over the world, connecting those children that are in orphanages to Christian homes. And we also do domestic adoptions, which is babies from the hospital typically in North and South Carolina. And those babies are then placed into a Christian home with families that are looking to adopt. We're also very excited about a couple weeks ago, we formed a partnership with the North Carolina Baptist Children's Homes, which is a huge entity in North Carolina that has about 21 different homes across North Carolina. And they work in the DSS foster care system in the state of North Carolina. We've partnered with them now, and so we'll be working with them, connecting children that are in DSS custody, all ages there, that have been cleared for adoption, to place them in Christian homes. And so, very exciting. I'm very passionate. I love what I'm doing. I preach in two churches a month all over North and South Carolina. Y'all do win the award of furthest away that I've preached in 3.5 years. I think it was like 475 miles, so y'all will carry that badge for a while. And but I kind of primarily preach in North and South Carolina, but it's an honor to be here in Alabama. I will say, as Devin mentioned, I'm a diehard Carolina fan. I see some Roll Tide in here. I'm not happy with the Auburn folks. I don't know of any Auburn folks that are in here, War Eagle. Maybe I'm in the wrong area of Alabama. But they beat Carolina twice. Baseball, you hurt my feelings. In basketball, you hurt my feelings in the last 6 months. And so I'm not a huge War Eagle person. So Roll Tide, baby. All right, Roll Tide. All right, how about that? All right. Very good. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians 1. I'm excited to kind of unpack a scripture today for you in the time we have allotted today. I drove in last night, had the opportunity to hang out with Devin and Ashley, spent some time at their house with the kids. It was just a great time and reconnecting. And man, it's a blessing to see how God works in our lives as we continue to be faithful to Him. And again, an honor to be here in this place at City Church to share with you today. And so let's look at this text today. You'll see some notes that appear on the screen if you're taking notes today. Three truths we're going to share in this message titled Adopted into the Kingdom. Adopted into the Kingdom. And my prayer is that you'll leave here today challenged and changed by the Word of God. This message I'm going to share, I was telling Devin and Ashley last night, I've kind of turned into an evangelist. Y'all know some of those guys that they go around and they preach their number one, their number two, and their number three sermon, right? The same sermon over and over and over again. Well, y'all are getting number one today, all right? Now, if Devin chooses to invite me back, I'll bring number two, you know, next year. But y'all are getting my number one. But the Lord has really touched me as I was praying. And it wasn't an easy decision. I'm a pastor's kid. I've grown up in church my whole life. And having 22 years in church ministry, it wasn't like this easy, oh, let's go run an adoption agency and see how that goes. It was the first call I got about leading this ministry, and CAS has been in existence. This is our 40th year. The founders were retiring 3 years ago. They had started, a husband-wife couple had started it in 1979. And so I got the call from someone that knew me from seminary and that was on the board of directors and said, hey, would you be interested in leading an adoption agency? And my first answer was no. I don't know anything about adoption. I've got three biological kids. I mean, I know a little bit just from families in the churches that I've been a part of that have adopted. And I just said no. He said, let me just send you over the job description and you just look at it. When I got that, I looked at it, I was like, wow, it's kind of interesting. It kind of fits some of my, what I thought, spiritual gifts. And so I said, you know, I need to at least pray about it. And so there was a valuable lesson in that for me, because some of you may be dealing with things today where you're like, no way I could do that, or no way I'd want to do that, but God may be calling you to do something, and we just need to be open. We need to be willing. And for me, I didn't know God was going to push me all the way and say, yes, you're going. But for me, it became an obedience issue of just saying, I'm going to trust you, God, and no matter what you're doing in this situation, maybe you don't want me to do to go lead this ministry, but you're teaching me something through this process. And so I just want to encourage you in that. That was just an encouragement to me. And then, resigning, and it was scary. I'm not going to lie. My first week on the job going in there, we had about 30 employees all over North and South Carolina now. And I remember going in, I'm like sitting there, I don't know what to do. I mean, I didn't have a clue what to do. I'm sitting there, I'm like, don't know anybody. And I was like, Lord, are you sure you brought me here? And this is where I'm supposed to be. But 3.5 years later, I can tell you that God is good, and God's good all the time. And he definitely called me to this ministry, and I'm very thankful to be a part of that. And so in your spiritual journey, just be open. Be open. You never know what God may shoot you down a path that you weren't expecting in your life. And so this is an incredible text. I've read this text. I've preached this text way before coming on here. But as soon as I came a part of this ministry, this text became a little more real to me in a very different way. And I pray the Lord will open your eyes to what he's trying to communicate here to you and to all of us today. So let's look at this text together. We'll come back and look at the truths. The text says in Ephesians chapter 1, the Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption, there's that word, as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Today's message is titled, Adopted into the Kingdom. So let's go back and look at this text. We'll break three truths down for you today. The first truth is this, if you're a Christ follower, okay, and I don't even use the word Christian today in this culture. If you're a Christ follower, meaning you follow what Jesus Christ says, then what this text tells us in verse 3 is that we've been spiritually blessed through Jesus Christ. All right, if we're saved today, if we've given our life to Christ, we know we're going to heaven. This text tells us that we've been spiritually blessed in verse 3 by Jesus Christ. Look at it again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. I remember way back in seminary. For me, my experience in called to ministry was different. I went to a small school in North Carolina, a small Baptist school called Gardner Webb University. It's about an hour and a half west of Charlotte, kind of between Charlotte and Asheville. And I went and got a business administration degree. So my senior year, while I was finishing up my degree, I felt like the Lord called me into ministry. I didn't tell a soul. And so I was like, okay, what am I going to do here? I feel God calling me to ministry. I lived in a pastor's home, so I knew ministry wasn't a 9-to-5 job. It was tough. And I was like, I don't know, I'm just going to push it to the side. And so about 6 months of kind of rebellion, kind of the Jonah experience, okay, where God calls you to go somewhere and you go the opposite way, that was me. And after 6 months, things weren't, it were just kind of crumbling around me. A lot of different things were happening that weren't healthy for me, spiritually speaking. And so I finally yielded to the call of God in my life. And so then I went straight into seminary. So for me, seminary was an incredible experience for just soaking up all the different classes, because I wasn't what I call a preacher boy. Now, Devin and I know a lot of preacher boys that came to seminary that got a 4-year degree in religion, right? So they had already had a lot of these classes. For me, it was all fresh. So I remember sitting in a preaching class, all right, very first time, learning how to preach and having to put a 1-year calendar together and all this stuff, man. It was intense. But I soaked up a lot of that, and I remember the professor talking about exegetical preaching, right? Teaching, let the word speak for itself. And so I remember some key things that were said there, and one of them was this. If you see a word or words used in a very short period of scripture, pay attention. Light bulb moment. God's trying to get your attention. Don't miss it. This first verse is key to that. Look at that again. Do y'all see the word there? That's used 3 times in one verse. Look at it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has what? Blessed us with every spiritual what? Blessing. Light bulb. Don't miss it. What is God trying to tell us there? If we go around the room today and we were to say, I were to ask you, how have you been blessed? Well, we could spend hours in here, couldn't we? Just talking about how we've been blessed. And some of those things that we might mention might be relationships, relationship of spouse, children, could be health, could be a great job, right? The list just goes on and on and on. What the Lord is trying to remind us here, in the midst of all that's happening in our lives, the biggest blessing that we can ever receive is a blessing of a relationship with Jesus Christ, period. And he wants to remind us of that, because this world that we live in, there's a lot of ups and downs. Would y'all agree? There's a lot of ups and downs. And with, I can't imagine trying to walk through this world without Jesus by my side and in my heart and in my life. And so we need to be reminded of that. And I think it's something, sometimes we confuse that word a little bit of you know, we might be hashtag blessed, you know, kind of thing we throw out there, where we really need to be reminded at the end of the day, because of what happened on a cross 2,000 years ago in an empty tomb, I am blessed. Let me give you an example of that, of the ups and downs. I'm sure there's some hurts in this room today just by the sheer number of people here. And the reality, let me give you this truth, the reality, and sometimes when we're younger, and I think Devin's a little bit older, so I can say that. I'm younger than Devin, okay, about months maybe. When were you born? 71? I'm June 71, so he's older. All right, I thought that was right. And so sometimes, though, as we think about just longevity and years, sometimes when we're younger, we don't see this. But here's the truth, and a lot of us will know that we consider a mature in the room today. Number one, we're either in a storm right now. When I say storm, a challenge, adversity. We've either just come out of one, or one is coming. Y'all agree with that? That's the facts. That's the facts of where we are today. So we must be grounded in our faith as we deal with this. I'll give you an example of that personally in my life. My dad's a pastor, and my parents have been married 46 years. And so in the spring of 2016, so my dad had pastored Apex Baptist, which is right outside of Raleigh, suburb of Raleigh, and been there 27 years. So that's home. That's kind of home for me. I went to Apex High School, graduated there. And so my dad retired at age 66 from the big church, Apex Baptist, and they were running over 1,000 people when he retired. And so, you know, you never really tire from ministry. And so dad, pick up some interims here and there, you know, and just enjoying that retirement with my mom. And then one of the churches he was the interim loved him so much, said, "Hey, would you be our pastor?" And it was a church running about 100, 150. And so he said yes. And so they started, you know, full-time ministry again on a smaller scale. And so they were enjoying that. And so in the spring of 16, my mom was dealing with some issues, and she was 66 at the time. And so she went to did all these tests, and ultimately they found out she had a rare urethral cancer near the kidneys, and it was very rare and aggressive, age 66. And so that threw us for a loop. And we were a very tight family. I have a younger sister. She's married to a pastor as well. And so very, very tight family. And so we walked through that for 8 months, my mom. And she went home to be with the Lord in January of 17 after battling cancer. And she was 67 when she passed away. And then, so that was tough on my dad. It was very tough on my dad, having been married over 46 years. And so about 8 months later, my dad had started pastoring that church again. They gave him a break, you know, when my mom was going through what she was going through. And so we were noticing that my dad had, there were some grief issues that were going on that he was quiet. He had changed a little bit. We just felt like it was grief and stuff that he was dealing with. And so we started to notice some memory issues with him. And we're like, okay. And dad was 72 at the time. And so we took him in for some tests, and 8 months later, we find out that he has a rare brain lymphoma, ACS brain lymphoma. We're like, what in the world is going on? All this in 2017. And so I had to go. Dad's still with us today, but he had to go through chemo a couple of months, going up to Duke Hospital, and it was tough. It was very difficult on our family. And the doctor said, if your dad doesn't do this treatment, he will not be here by Christmas. And so my sister and I sat there. It was very difficult just, you know, trying to navigate that of what was best for my dad. And we ultimately chose to do the treatment. And he's still with us today, and he's doing okay. But one of the hardest things I had to do on a Sunday morning in November of 17 was to have to go to his church and preach a message and resign for him. He had lost the ability to really preach. His memory issues would affect him. He cannot drive. And so, you know, so I share that with you not to ask for sympathy, but to remind you that we all deal with ups and downs, and to go back to this text and this one verse to say, I tell you, I'm a blessed man today, despite all that's happening. I wouldn't want anybody else to go through it, but I'm blessed because of a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we need to be reminded of that through the storms of life. And so as we see this, if you're a Christ follower, you've been spiritually blessed through a relationship with Jesus Christ. So let's look at the second truth, and it's found in verse 4. And the second truth is this. So as you think about this theme of what it means to be adopted into the kingdom, number one, if you're a Christ follower, we've been spiritually blessed through Christ. Number two, through love, God made a choice to redeem us. Okay, let's look at this verse 4. It goes on to say, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. In love. There's a lot of theological truth in these verses, but I want to focus on this part where it says, in love. Through love, God made a choice to redeem us. It's an amazing choice, by the way. Amazing choice. As Jesus hung on that cross, if we were the only people on the planet today in this building at City Church, he still would have sent his son Jesus to die for you and me because he loves you and me that much. Amazing. And I think sometimes in the Bible Belt, we kind of have an inflated view that God loves us more than other people sometimes, especially the Southern Baptists. You know, I can give Southern Baptists hard times. I'm a Southern Baptist guy. I think we might have the mansion on the hill in heaven. Everybody else is going to be down here, you know. And so not true, right? And so, but God loves, think about this for a minute. The biggest enemy of Christianity today, whoever that person is, wherever they are and what part of the world they may be, the biggest enemy, whoever that may be, God loves that person today as much as he loves you and me sitting in this room right now. Now, you think about that. That's how powerful God's love is. God loves us that much. That unconditional love, that he loves us no matter what. It's unbelievable to think about that. And I love, I preach again a lot of different churches, and churches ask me to do different things, and I've had a few churches that have asked me, these still exist, by the way. They were a little popular in the 90s, 80s, and 90s. Y'all ever had a children's sermon? You ever seen a children's sermon, you know what I'm talking about? Where they bring all the kids down front, you know, you have somebody, you know, cute and talk to them and do a little visual, right? And let's be honest, if you ever been in a church with a children's sermon, sometimes you got more out of the children's sermon than you did the big sermon. Let's just be honest about that because it's so simple. And I love the children's sermon messages because when you think about this message I'm talking about on a children, a third grade level, it's this. God is love, period. God is love. Isn't that something we can all grasp and understand today? He loves us unconditionally. And I think love is one of those words we kind of confuse in our culture today. How many of us use the word love in a context that's probably not biblical, right, in the way God describes love and how much he loves us? How many of you have ever used the word that you love a certain type of food? Anybody? I love a ribeye. You know what I'm saying? I love, how many of us on our sports teams, we might exaggerate a little bit and say, I love the Tar Heels, right? I know I've said it before and exaggerate that. By the way, God has a sense of humor in our lives about that because I bleed blue. And like Devin says, I don't get into the swimming and all the other, you know, horse racing or whatever they have else, Chapel Hill, you know, but I do get into the major sports. And so as our kids, so I have two that are in, one's going their freshman year at college at Gardner Webb where Kim and I went. And then I have my oldest, Emma, is in school, and it was interesting as she's a junior this year in college, but we were navigating all the different schools, and we toured Carolina, we toured Wake Forest, went up to Liberty, went down into South Carolina, some schools, and anyway, so it's funny where the Lord had her go. And I know y'all won't get this too much, but it'd be like, let's see how I would describe this, it'd be like that if we were Alabama people, and your daughter went to Auburn. How would that feel? My daughter went to NC State, okay? So she does the Wolfpack thing, but for us in Tar Heel country, that's like bad. So I'm writing checks to NC State. Now, it's not as bad as Duke, all right, because I hate Duke, but I am writing checks to NC State. And so God has a sense of humor. That's all I got to say. And she loves it there. She's doing good. But sometimes I think when we think about love, sometimes God wants us to be reminded. These are strong likes at the end of the day. God teaches us what love is. And I love that God, our God who we worship and serve, doesn't just talk about it. What does the Bible say in Romans? He says that he demonstrated his love for us by what? Sending his son Jesus to die on a cross for you and for me. He loves us. And there's nothing that we could ever do. You know, I deal with I meet a lot of people from all over the place. And there seems to be this culture in this 21st century church culture. There seems to be a lot of people struggling with guilt. What I consider false guilt. You know, there are things that we've all done things we're not proud of in our past, and we've asked forgiveness of those. And when we ask forgiveness, God wipes those things away. They're never to be mentioned again. But I think the evil one, trying to discourage us, reminds us of things in the past to discourage us from doing anything, kind of paralyze us from serving him. And he's doing a good job of that, by the way. And so if there's anybody dealing with that in here, I want to remind you that if you've asked forgiveness, that is gone. And there, the truth of that is there's nothing that you could ever do, nothing you've ever done, nothing you'll do tomorrow to make God love you less. Now, that doesn't give you a license to go do it. There's consequences to bad choices, right? We've all dealt with that, right, with sin. But God's love never changes through all of that. And we need to be reminded of that in this day. Look at the third truth, the final truth today, as we think about this theme of what it means to be adopted into God's kingdom. So we see the truth that as a Christ follower, we've been spiritually blessed through Christ. And two, through love, God made a choice to redeem us. But the third truth is amazing truth. The crux of this message is that if you're a Christ follower today, you've been adopted by Jesus into the kingdom. Let's think about that. How many of y'all know someone that's been physically, you know, someone that's adopted a child? Raise your hand. Let me see. All right, that's good. 50%? That's a lot. That's a lot. All right? But listen, when I finish this particular text, I'm going to ask that question again, so hang on. So look at the text again in verse 5. It says, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Now let's break that down for a minute. What that means is this, all right? God is our Father. We are his children, all right? And he adopts us into his kingdom. Now, there's a few issues when you go back and you understand the Bible. God is our Father. We're his children. We messed up, right? We sinned. And Romans 6:23, do y'all know that text? Romans 6:23, I remember it because I remember doing Bible drill. Did anybody do Bible drill around here? You know what I'm talking about? You had a little Bible. You had to step out in 10 seconds. They had this. It was when you're a kid and you learned a lot of Bible verses and where stuff was. And so I remember as a kid learning Romans 6:23, part A and part B. Part A is this, for the wages of sin is death. That's bad, right? That's not good news. And if it ended there, then we're all in trouble. Might as well go home and pack it up, okay? But thank goodness for part B. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at it again. God's our Father. We're his children. We don't deserve to go to heaven. Not one of us deserves to go to heaven. But because of what was accomplished on a cross and empty tomb 2,000 years ago, he brings us into right relationship with him. Isn't that an amazing truth to think about today? God adopts us. He adopts us into his kingdom. So the answer to that question, let me go back again. If I were to ask that question, how many of you know someone that's been adopted today? Spiritually speaking, if you're a Christ follower, every hand should go up, right? Because you and I have been adopted. I had never thought of it that way before until coming on. So I've been adopted by God. Now, what I love about our Lord is we get a truth of understanding, but then there's application of how we're to respond to that. Well, it's cool if you go over to James 1 and look at James 1:27. Some of you may know the scripture. Look at it a little bit later. But it talks about pure and undefiled religion, right? And it says pure and undefiled religion is to care for widows and orphans in their time of need. Y'all heard that verse before? And so when you combine that verse, that's a call to action, right? And so by God's people, that we're basically why we're to be involved is because I've been adopted by God, because we've been adopted by God, I'm to be involved in the orphan issue. And it's a big issue. There are 165 million orphans worldwide today. Let me repeat that. 165 million orphans worldwide. I am convicted that the church is the answer. And that's why I'm passionate about what I'm doing today. I believe there are people sitting in this church, people sitting in a lot of different churches that God's called to adopt. They may be scared. There may be some other reasons that they haven't stepped forward. But I believe the church is the answer. Now, for others, this is where everybody gets a little nervous in my message. Everybody's saying, okay, I'm too old to adopt. You know, that. I don't step on my toes on that, right? But we're all to be involved in this. Whether we're caught, there are people that are caught. I'm not adopted, right, physically. But God's called me to be a part of this initiative to get out there and raise awareness of what's going on. And so I'm involved. I support, right? And so the minimum for all of us is to pray. To pray that God will use this ministry to make a difference in other people's lives. So when you combine all that together, it's a gospel issue. It becomes a gospel issue because you and I have been adopted by God. I want to share a couple of things with you just to pray about. Something just tangible for you to kind of take away today. We deal with dysfunction to the capital D. I mean, I could tell you story after story after story of things that we deal with on a daily basis. We have a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week hotline that moms who are pregnant will call. And so last year, I'll give you some examples of numbers. We had 110 moms that we met with in North and South Carolina, pregnant moms. They could be 6 weeks pregnant. They could be at the hospital ready to deliver, okay? So we met with 110 moms who were pregnant. 30 of those moms chose a family through Christian adoption services. So those children were placed in a Christian home. 6 of those ladies gave their life to Jesus Christ. And so we are all about salt and light, being salt and light to these women who have made some very difficult choices and are in very difficult situations, but they need the love of Christ. And that's a praise, isn't it? That's amazing. I'm thankful to be a part of a ministry that's doing that. And so this year, just 3 months ago, we had what we call our Birth Moms Retreat. We do an annual retreat for moms who have placed with Christian adoption services over the years. And we had one mom that placed 20 years ago go. So we continue to have that relationship well after placement. And so we had at that retreat that was in the Raleigh area, we had 4 moms give their life to Christ. And so again, we are standing on the front lines of ministry, and the evil one hates what we're doing. Can't stand it. Because our mission statement is this. They had this very long mission statement when I came in. I was like, no, it's too long. I can't remember it. We need to get that thing short, concise, and I want us to live and breathe it, right? Live and breathe it, every one of us. And it's this: to build God's kingdom by connecting vulnerable children with Christian families. That's it. To build God's kingdom by connecting vulnerable children with Christian families. Laser focused on that mission. That's our mission. And so there are 3 ways we fulfill that mission. As a nonprofit, we only work with Christian families. We don't take any government money, and I don't want to. I don't want anybody telling us what to do. So we are very focused on working with Christian families, okay? Not just Baptists, but Christian families, okay? And so that's number one. 2, there's a reason for that. 1, these children that are placed in Christian homes, we want them to be exposed to the truth of God. There are statistics out there that if you're in a Christian home, it ups the likelihood of that child coming to know Christ, right? If your parents are Christian, no guarantees, right, for anybody. But if you're exposed to truth, the likelihood of you coming to know Jesus Christ is up. And so we're talking about heaven and hell for these children, right, that are placed in Christian homes. And then 3, like I said, is our work with our birth mothers. To be salt and light and to minister and love on these moms is an amazing opportunity that we have. And so, again, like I said, the evil one hates what we're doing. And so we run up into all kinds of spiritual warfare. I believe in spiritual warfare. I've seen it in church world. I see it more today in what I'm doing today than I ever saw it in church world, because the evil one hates when a mom gets saved, hates when a child that's in a dark situation spiritually, physically, and placed in a 2-parent Christian home, hates that, right? And so we're running up against it. So we need your prayers. We need your prayers that God, that you will pray the Lord will bless this ministry and protect this ministry. That every one of you should walk out of here like that. 2, there are ways to support. You may say, you know what, I'm too old to adopt, but I can help others adopt. So there are ways to do that, right, to help us in our mission and what we're doing. And for others, there may be a couple in here that God may be calling you to adopt. I'd love to talk to you about that and what that might look like. So you never know. Let me give you a story just to close with as we wrap up today, just to pray about. We had, last week, we had an incredible situation where working with 2 different moms, and one mom had twin babies, boy and a girl. And they called us. We had not worked with her. She called us. They were at the hospital, and they called us and said, hey, this mom can't raise these children, and she wants them to be in a Christian home. Do you have a family? And we were like, we have families. They're ready to go on that. And so I wish I could show you video of that, but there's legal and all that. I can't show you all that until it finalizes and stuff. But it was so incredible to see the pictures, the movie. They videoed it of when these two little babies were placed in one into the wife and one in the husband's arms. And those two children are going to be loved and cared for in a Christian home. What a blessing. That's the rewarding part. The sad part is we had a mom who's 14. She's 14 years old, pregnant. She's in DSS custody. And she's pregnant. And they call us, and we go meet with her. And it's a very difficult situation, right? Again, when I say capital D dysfunction, that's what we're dealing with. And so it's an opportunity. We're working with her, and y'all pray that the Lord will work in her heart and that she will choose a Christian family, because she can't care for the child. The child will just go into DSS custody if she doesn't choose adoption. But it's one of those situations, a real-time live situation that y'all can be praying about, that the Lord will work in her life and that we can minister to her as a 14-year-old and what she's gone through. And so, again, a lot of different things happening here, all over the world, and we need your prayers. And again, I'm thankful to we have a new state that I've preached in for Christian adoption services, and y'all are it. And I believe that y'all are going to be friends of the ministry, that y'all will commit to be praying. And hopefully Devin will have me come back and I can share again, just give y'all an update of what God is doing. But it's a blessing to be a part. The takeaway from today is to remember that if you're saved today, you've been adopted by God. God's adopted you. And that we all have a role to play. You just got to find what that role is. And if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I can tell you today that God loves you. And he can be your father and wants to be your father and to adopt you into his kingdom. I know Pastor Devin can talk to you about that afterwards as well.